Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor George Pearsons. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Today, I am expecting your greatest blessing ever because great grace is upon us all. Do you receive that today? Do you believe that today? I receive it. I believe. I got that. I received that from a word from the Lord that Brother Copeland gave over 2014.
Wow.
That was part of the word from the Lord. And you know what? Terry and I have said it every day since. We are expecting our greatest blessing every day because great grace is upon us.
Absolutely.
We have victory over death and receive the manifestation of the love of God. And we declare that over you today. Would you please welcome to Believer's Voice of Victory, Dr. Terry Mize. Welcome.
Thank you, George.
Welcome,
it's a
welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
And first of all, I want to thank Kenneth and Gloria for allowing me the privilege to be here with you. I am so thrilled about doing this.
Praise God.
Because I'm getting so much from it. And I also want to thank them for allowing us to have this broadcast that goes all over the world, from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around.
Thank God.
All of the outlines of what we're teaching here are available to you. Just go to kcm.org, and that information there is for you, to where you can be able to download these outlines. Every outline is available to those that are watching.
That's wonderful.
And then we have a free book for you by Terry Mize called God's Opinion of You. And you can order this. This will be a great, I mean, you can carry this with you, read it wherever you go, and just feed on the Word of God and see yourself as God sees you, as righteous, as a king and a priest, as blessed and prosperous, as forgiven, accepted, as a world overcomer and a new creation. It is a great book. I have read it.
Praise
so,
the Lord.
Today on the broadcast, I want us to talk about something. It was actually the message that you preached in church. It was, who do you say Jesus is?
Sure, sure.
And so I want you to take off on that. We're going to talk about some things also concerning how to have your miracle and tying it in with spiritual authority.
Sure.
So, Brother Terry, take off with it.
Well, you know, in Matthew 16, starting verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, mm-hmm. He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the disciples begin to pipe up and say, well, they say you're John the Baptist, they say you're Elijah, they say you're Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Then he looked at them and said, yeah, but who do you say I am?
Who do you say that I am?
Who am I to you?
Wow.
Who am I at your house? Peter, what can I do in your life? You know, Matthew, what can I do at your house? What are my limitations with you, or what are my freedoms with you? Because, George, there's a spiritual law here that says whoever you say Jesus is, that's who He'll be to you.
Wow.
That's who He'll be to you.
Wow.
He can only do what you will allow Him to do.
Yeah. Who is He to us?
You know, if we went to somebody's house today and said, who do you say Jesus is? They might curse us and say, He's not welcome here. Well, if they did that, He couldn't come in.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. Our young adults pastor went out on the streets of Fort Worth, and he's mm-hmm. doing a series on Who Are You?
Mm-hmm.
And he was interviewing various people about, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Christians? And the answers, the strangest things that people would say, and they're saying, who is Jesus to them?
Right.
And some of them would say, well, He's just religion, He's just church on Sunday,
He's just
this. But to others,
He's real.
He's real.
Because see, there's a historical Jesus.
Mm.
You know, if any nation of the world and every religion of the world, they believe in Jesus. I mean, if they're literate, if they can read and write, they believe in Jesus because He's in the history books. Now, they don't believe He's deity. They don't believe He's the Son of God. They don't believe He's alive today. But they believe that Jesus lived, and they know that they know where He lived and when He lived. They know how He died, when He died. They know He's the organizer of the largest religion in the world. They know their calendars are marked by Him.
That's right.
You know, I mean, every time you get a day off at work, you ought to thank Jesus for it. I mean, because our calendars are marked by Him. So He is a historical figure.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when you ask people, you know, who Jesus is, or do you believe in Jesus, they say, oh, sure. But they're referring to the historical Jesus. Mm. They're not a personal relationship with a living Jesus. And then there's the religious Jesus. Some people, you ask them about Jesus, and they just, oh, sure, you know, because they've still got Him, you know, on the cross, or they've still got Him suffering, or they've still got Him as a little baby in the manger, you know, but He's not the real alive, living entity, person.
And some are intimidated by Him, like don't pray in His name at the football game or things like that.
Oh, sure.
Or at graduations or whatever.
Exactly.
It's amazing the impact that name has when they don't think there's much to it, but they'll tell you not to say it.
Right. Yeah, they don't think there's much to it, but they're scared to pray They're scared for you to pray in His name.
And that all goes to maturity, immaturity.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Not knowing who He is and not really experiencing the love of the Father.
Oh, of course, because they've been exposed to the religious Jesus or the historical Jesus, but never the real, never the living Jesus.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, there's only one.
There's only
the
one.
The Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven."
As you were bringing this out on Sunday, you're beginning to talk about the power that's in that name.
Sure.
And one of the statements that you made, which I thought was so outstanding, you said, "Pastors, you need to teach people how to beat up the devil."
Oh, sure.
To use that name. Sure. He said, "You can make the devil mind you."
Right. T.L. Osborne said that to me so many years ago. He said one day, he said, "Terry, I've been watching you." And I said, "Oh, you have?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know what I learned?" I said, "No, sir, I don't know what you learned." And he said, "I learned that you know how to make the devil mind you." And I just thought that was an incredible statement. You know, he said, "You know how to make the devil mind you."
Yeah.
And as long as we know that. And then he also told me, always stay till the devil leaves. That's where I got that phrase from.
Stay
till
the devil leaves.
Till the devil
leaves. I wrote that down here. There it is right there, T.L.
I just thought that was as powerful a statement as you'd ever want to hear. I mean, you know, you couldn't even put a price on that.
Yeah.
And that's how people win their victories. That's how people beat the devil and beat sickness and beat the things that are attacking them is that you outlast the devil. You stay till the devil leaves.
You said something too in terms of that, because this all ties into spiritual authority.
Oh, sure.
The authority in the name of Jesus. And you said that there is a difference between murder and martyr.
Sure, absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, the devil, Jesus said that the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Right. That's his job. His job is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And in the Bible, we realize that there is a martyr's death. Now, we don't know a lot about it. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about it. But in Hebrews, it does talk to us a little bit about martyrs. And so I think the church gets confused today that they just think anytime a Christian dies, they're a martyr. And that's not really true. A lot of times it's just murder. And there's a difference between martyr and murder. You remember when Columbine first happened those decades ago, years ago, and then several copycat school shootings after that. And now lately we've had some more. But back then, you know, there was that one and then the copycats. And so I literally ran into Christians that would say to me, "Brother Terry, maybe my children will get to be martyrs. Maybe my children will die like that." And I'd say, "Well, bite your tongue."
Yeah.
You know, I said, "You need to go down to your school and march around it seven times and shout and declare spiritual authority over that the devil's not welcome here, that your kids are protected, the blood of Jesus is on that school, and there's not any devil going to touch them." Because they get this strange idea that, well, maybe that's a good thing. If my kids got killed or if I got killed, you know, for Jesus, then I'd be a martyr. And that's not true. You'd just be murdered. And the devil's just out to murder. He's crazy, and he wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, today, we know in nations around the world, they're actually knocking at the door. And you come to the door, and there's a guy in a black mask and black clothes and a machete in his belt or a knife in his belt and an automatic weapon. Say, "Are you a Christian?" And they know if they say yes, then they're going to die. Their kids are going to die. Their wife's going to die. They're actually beheading children. And so some deny Jesus, say, "No, I'm not a Christian." But many, many others say, "No, I am a Christian," knowing full well they're going to die, that their kids are going to die, their wife's going to die. But, you know, my question is, all those guys that are dying don't really have to. You know, it's not they're not all being martyred, they're being murdered. And I'm thinking sometimes, where are they going to church? What's their pastor teaching them? Where's the spiritual authority? Because we're not here just for cannon fodder for the devil. We're not here just as a punching bag for the devil to beat up on. God didn't leave us as more than beggars and more than losers. He left us as more than conquerors.
You know, Gloria and I did a teaching that just aired on the Believer's Voice of Victory not too long ago called The Untouchables.
Praise God.
Living in the circle of God's blessing.
I like it.
And we spent a full 2 weeks talking about our protection, our authority, our dominion. And
that's
one of the
wonderful
comments that we received was from a gentleman who said, "Well, all these Christians that were being martyred and killed, don't you care about them?"
And somebody always wants to turn it negative.
Well, and he said, "Well, what about them?" And First of all, my answer to that is we care about them deeply.
Yes.
We love these people. Right. And every time we hear something like that, I mean, it just hurts to hear about children being heads cutting off and all of that kind of thing. But what it also brings to me and what I do with our church, when these things come up, I come back and I preach and remind them of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And I honestly believe that we need development, further development in that area, because there is a fear.
Oh, I agree.
A fear that's tried to come on our nation.
I agree.
Because now these guys are showing up, mm-hmm. and people are afraid.
And people act like we're helpless, and that they've got all the power, and we have none.
Yeah.
You know, but I've said to a lot of people, I said, you know, you ought to be able to stick your finger in that guy's face and say, let me tell you something. My God's bigger than your God. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Anybody's going to die around here today, it's going to be you and not me. You know, George, I've been shot at before. I mean, you know, we've talked about that some on the broadcast.
Yep.
I've been shot at point blank range. I've been shot at from a distance. You know, I've had people put knives in my throat and guns to my head and threaten me. And when I sneaked into a country in Southeast Asia one time, wasn't even there legally. I've done it several times. I've snuck into a country. I won't say which one because I don't want to get caught. You know, but the army there, 100,000 strong, actually sent me personal death threats on 3 different occasions. You know, and they're from another religion.
Yeah, you were telling us about that.
You tell, I mean, it was personal. I said, you tell Terry Mize if he comes out here, we will kill him. You know, and I sent him a message back and said, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. You can't kill me. And I went. And the second time I went, another trip, they did the same thing. And I said, yeah, you can't kill me. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. And so we went. And then the third trip, I said, you know, this is the third time you've said you're going to kill me. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You hadn't done it yet. And I said, and if you're going to do it, you better get some help, because you've only got 100,000 strong, and there's more with me than with you.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I had my oldest son with me, Lynn. I had my oldest daughter with me, Lori. We were walking trails that were actually landmined. You know, we were walking where they were shooting mortars into the camp, and, mm-hmm. and Chinese fighter planes were strafing the villages, you know. And I told the people, I was going out to a place of 28,000 people. And I said, you tell the people that anyone that comes to my meeting will not be harmed. There will not be a hair of their head harmed. And so people came to those meetings. They were saved. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had miracles and miracles and miracles. And the enemy army actually rushed the village during the week and did kill a Baptist missionary, which I hate and I'm sorry for, but he wasn't in my meeting. Nobody in my meetings were touched.
So you're saying we have to be trained. We have to
Absolutely.
Be trained and taught to
Absolutely.
Know how to walk in our dominion and our authority.
Absolutely.
We've got to learn from the Word about that. And, it, you know, as you're talking here, I was thinking about we have a security force here at Kenneth Copeland mm-hmm. Ministries. Mm-hmm. We've got guys that guard the property and so forth. And people might say, well, what about the angels? Well, we got the angels too.
We got them both.
We got them both. And they do periodic training. They stay in training.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they're doing, as a matter of fact, while we're taping here, there's been a 14-day training going on this property for not only our folks, but others.
Right.
And one of them is a good friend of mine. You met them, mm-hmm. David and Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we were waiting for Terry, my Terry, to land coming back from Branson the other night. And Lynn was out there, and she's waiting for David. Mm-hmm. And so we got to talking to each other, and I've never really seen them in action before.
Right.
And I said, what are you teaching tonight? And she said, we're teaching about knife training. Mm-hmm. And when somebody attacks you, what do you do? Wow. And so she handed me the knife that they use for the training. It's a dull metal thing.
Sure, training knife.
And so I said, well, what would you do if I went like this to you? And I took the knife and I went like that to her. And boy, she just whipped up and she said, we go like, psh, psh.
Right, and you're done.
And you'd knock out the ability of that individual to attack you. Well, I'm thinking about how we train for those things.
Sure.
How much more?
Exactly.
How much more do we train to take our dominion and our authority
Absolutely,
over these
George,
things?
Absolutely.
And you've got.
I'm a Texan. I love guns.
Yeah.
You know, but I sure keep my angels handy.
Sure.
And in all these countries I go to, you know, I go to countries where they're trying to kill me. I go to countries where, you know, one misstep and they'll kill you.
Yeah.
And so we always have to be prayed up. And
what about Jamaica? You were. What happened in Jamaica?
I've been to Jamaica so many times over the years, and I've taken teenagers with me and taught them to win souls. It's a soul winning trip, and I'm a soul winner, so I can teach soul winning, you know. And I always tell people, you're not a born soul winner, but I can make you one. You don't have to, you know, just be willing to be made. And we just teach those kids, and they win souls like shooting fish in a barrel. It's wonderful. But I was there 1 year, had about 60 teenagers with me, and I was there 1 year, and all of a sudden the police car just comes up with sirens going and lights flashing, screeches to a stop right where I'm standing. Mm. They got out and said, you know, Dr. Mize, you're under arrest. You come with us. And I said, okay, fine. I said, let me tell my son. Lynn was with me. And I said, let me tell my son what to do with all these teenagers, you know, and to get them back to the hotel. And they said, no, you're under arrest. Get in the car. And I just said, I said, I'm going to tell my son what to do with these teenagers. I'll be right back and go with you. And so I walked over to where Lynn was, told him what to do, and I said, I'll be back for supper, just take everybody back. They put me in the back of the car, you know, and drove me off, and all these kids are looking, and I'm kind of waving in the back seat of the police car, you know, the sirens going and the lights. And it got down to an immigration office and marched me into this lady's office. And this sweet lady, bless her heart, she was so angry. I do not know what she was so angry about. We weren't doing anything wrong, you know. I mean, I've been to Jamaica many years.
Right.
And but she was so upset, and she said, we're deporting you today. She said, I'm having my officers take you from my office, and they're taking you straight to the airport and deporting you. And I said, no, ma'am, you're not. I'm not leaving today. And she said, well, you certainly are leaving today. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. She said, I'm having my officers take you right now to the airport and put you on a plane and send you out of this country. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm not leaving here until Saturday. My ticket's good till Saturday, and that's when I'm leaving. And I said, you know, I've got teenagers here that I'm responsible for. I said, my wife's here. My kids are here. I've got grandbabies here. She said, well, I'll have my officer stop at the hotel and pick up your wife and grandbaby. I said, no, ma'am, you're not going to touch my wife and grandbaby. We are not going to the airport. And she just slapped her hand down on her desk, and she said, do you know I'm the second highest official in this nation? And I just slapped my hand down her desk. I said, do you know I'm a king and a priest of Almighty God, and I've got more authority than you do?
Mm.
And she just sat there and looked at me, and all of a sudden the phone rang. And so she picks up the phone and says, hello. Now, I didn't hear what was said on the other end of the conversation. I just heard her end. And she said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, why? Well, who is this man? Well, why is he so special? Yes, sir. Goodbye. You may go. I said, thank you, ma'am. And I got up and walked out. Now, I have no idea who called her. You know, and I don't know what was said, but I went back to the hotel, picked up the kids, went to dinner and all that kind of stuff. Now, Saturday, when we were all leaving the country, several officials came out and met me at the airport. One of them I knew, and the other two gentlemen I didn't. And they said, Dr. Mize, we're so sorry. They said, this will never happen again. We're just so sorry that this happened to you. And they said this, George, they said, what do you want to happen to that officer? And I said, excuse me, what do you mean? They said, well, what do you want to happen? They said, do you want her out in the country milking cows? You just tell us what you want done, and that's what will happen. I said, oh, no, I don't want the lady to lose her job. I said, here's what I want. Yeah. I don't want it to ever happen again.
Mm.
I said, what if I hadn't been me? What if I'd just been some young American youth leader with a bunch of kids over here, or a pastor that didn't know what to do, and what if they'd really got deported and all those kids would have been stranded here not knowing to? I said, so I don't want that to ever, ever happen again. And they said, no, we promise you it'll never, ever happen again. But, you know, there's times we just, when we're right and in the right, we just have to be, take that authority. Because if I'd have just sat there, you know, all mousy and just said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, then they'd have just taken me to the airport and deported me. But, you know, you have to stand your ground whenever you're in, and take your authority, take spiritual authority.
So you're really answering the question, who is Jesus to you? He is your protector.
Oh, absolutely.
He's your deliverer.
Absolutely.
He's your dominion. He's your authority. You are under the authority of the
Amen.
Name of Jesus.
George, one time Lynn and I were in a jungle situation in a country illegally, and went into this village to preach on a Sunday morning. And the army was scheduled to attack this village. And that's what they do there. They'll attack a village. They used to kill the people. Now they capture them and make them work on a highway that they're building across the nation. But what happens is some guy in the military may have an aunt or a sister or a mama there. So he gives them a warning and says, hey, tomorrow we're attacking your village.
Yeah.
And so when I got there, the pastors told me and the people told me, they said, you know, tonight the village is being attacked by the army and they're going to burn it to the ground and then they're going to capture people. And George, I got up and preached a message on supernatural protection that I didn't know that I knew. And the whole time I'm preaching, it's coming out of my spirit. The Holy Ghost is preaching it.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, I wish I was recording this. I wish I could take notes. I wish I could write this down.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I knew that stuff.
Yeah.
It was just coming
up out of your spirit.
Just protection, protection, protection. You know, protection by the angels, protection from the word, protection by the blood, protection in the name. I mean, the Holy Ghost was doing a good job. It wasn't me. Wow. You know, and I just wish today I had those notes. But when I finished, I said to him, I said, now all of you follow me out to the edge of town. And I walked them off the edge, out to the edge of the village. I took the heel of my shoe and drug a line in the dirt across the road. Mm. And I said, now I decree to you as a man of God in the office of apostle that God's called me to, they will not cross this line. There will not be one house burned in this village, not one hut burned in this village, not one person touched in this village. I decree it as a man of God in Jesus' name. And that night, not a place was touched, but outside the town was the temple of the other religion, and it burned to the ground. Nobody did it. Nobody said it. It just burned to the ground supernaturally.
Wow.
And so the next day, everybody in the village was walking this tall. You know, they were just walking on air, saying, "Oh, thank God!" And they said, "Brother Jerry, come out here." Said several of the priests were hurt in the fire. Said the temple burned down. They were hurt. Mm-hmm. And I went out there, George, to try to help these gentlemen that were hurt. And I felt so badly because when they saw me coming, fear came on their face, and they just began to crawl away backwards and say, no. And I said, hey guys, I came to help you. But you know, they thought I did it. I mean, they thought I was spiritually responsible for it.
Right.
And so the pastors were excited. They said, Brother Terry, said you stopped the army attack. You stopped the village. The temple to burn down. Said just stay here 2 weeks. We'll just rid them out of the whole country.
Wow.
And I told the pastor, I said, well, you can build your church right here where this temple was, because they won't build it there again because of their superstition and religion. So I said, so you can take that same spot. But it was a Holy Ghost sermon on supernatural protection.
Yeah. Who do you say Jesus is?
Oh, absolutely.
Who is he? And church on Sunday, you talked about the names of God. He's your doctor, your lawyer, your banker, your protector. He's the Most High. He is all of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take our dominion and our authority over every evil thing that would try to come against us. In Jesus' name.
And
Father, we're coming up. We are coming up in understanding the revelation of the authority of the believer in this earth. And we take it, we walk in it, and we believe it, and walk in full protection. Because God, we are the untouchables.
Yes,
the wicked one touches us not.
Thousandfold at our side.
In Jesus' name.
Right hand, come to you.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God. I like it.
I like it too.
Amen.
Terry, thank you. Thank you. Terry and I will be right back. Stay with us.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.